Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Today we're broadcasting from the Statewide Arts Conference at the Ramcota River Center in Pierre, presented by the South Dakota Arts Council and South Dakotans for the Arts. The event brings together artists and arts professionals and administrators from around the state and beyond. Giving this evening's keynote address on Lakota Arts and Identities is Craig Howe. He's director and founder of the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies on Pine Ridge. He's authored numerous articles and book chapters on tribal histories and Native studies. He's lectured on American Indian topics across the U.S. and Canada and provides professional development and cultural awareness training to schools and education. And Craig Howe, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, I understand that last month at the South Dakota Art Museum in Brookings, you held a workshop on Lakota arts and identities, and this is kind of what you're talking about a little bit this evening. Yes. What happened at that workshop?
At the workshop, we established a framework for thinking about exhibiting a history and culture of American Indians, and specifically Lakotas. So we gave a framework to the participants, and then they had the opportunity to work with the collections of the South Dakota Art Museum and create what we call these small exhibit vignettes.
So it was through the arts, through what was in the collection of the Art Museum, was to help understand the Lakota culture or American Indian culture?
Lakota culture, and that's one of the differentiations that we were trying to make and that we constantly try to make, is to differentiate between American Indians globally and Lakotas in this case specifically. So we, working with the art museum, I think around 100 items from their collections were selected, and then these participants had the opportunity to go through these and create these small exhibits that dealt with some aspect of Lakota history and culture. Not Lakota history and culture globally, but some specific aspect.
Is this part of your work, Craig Howe, to really get more people to understand Lakota history and culture?
Yes, and in our state, being South Dakota, this state has the most Lakota reservations of any state or province, and also, speaking a little bit broader, the Ocheti Shakowin, which commonly people call Sioux, we're the only state in the United States that has reservations that are the tribes are descendants from the all seven of the Ocheti Shakowin nations. So I think it's really important in our state for all of us to know the basics of Ocheti Shakowin history and culture.
And why is that? Why do you think that's important for those of us here to understand that?
Well, our state has a long history of contentious and maybe less than ideal relationships between Native peoples and non-Native peoples. And our state, of course, was founded in 1889, and those relationships began at least as early as 1804, when we have a real good record when Lewis and Clark first came up the river. Even starting then, there was a contentious relationship between these two entities. And so now, what we think, we being the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies, is that if we citizens have a better understanding of history and culture of our state, we'll make better decisions going forward.
Do you think that in recent years, 10, 20 years, that some of the understanding of Lakota culture among the broader population in South Dakota has improved, or is...
I think it has improved, but one thing that we are working, we have developed, and we're refining it, though, is an Ocheti Shakowin assessment. So what do we know about Ocheti Shakowin history and culture? And we've administered that to somewhere around 4,000 people here in South Dakota, and collectively and across the board, whether we're urban or rural or reservation or non-reservation, Indian or non-Indian, young or old, we really don't know the basics. So, yes, I think the relationships have improved, but the background information or knowledge apparently has not.
Yeah, I don't know how well I would do if you gave me that test. I'd probably, I'm wondering, you know, once we understand that basic history, then it goes beyond just improving relations, that there's just a true understanding of the history and how we relate to each other here in South Dakota today.
That's our goal and our hope, is that right now a lot of we just deal with perceptions and stereotypes and beliefs. So the simplest problem, we have to just cover all these bases. Well, here are the facts. And if we can get those facts out to all of us as citizens, then we don't have to start there. We have a baseline, a tabletop where we can say, here's the facts, now let's work from there. And the conditions, the political relationships are really unique in these tribal communities. And so a lot of us, even from tribal communities, but definitely from outside of them, might not know how those operate.
Now, you've been back in the state in Pine Ridge for, what, about the past 12 years or so?
Yes, I moved back to South Dakota in 2000, and I'd gone away to college, and took me a long time to get back, but I finally made my way back, and I'm really happy to be back.
Was your goal to, when you came back, to put together, to start the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies, or is that something that kind of happened once you were here?
It wasn't something I could identify at that moment, but I wanted some way to make a living, living in the reservation, and without having to work so hard as I did growing up as a rancher. So I would somehow use the land and the people. That's our core. The land and the people are what's unique here. You cannot transport that. So people have to come. And then looking at the models we used at the Smithsonian in D.C. and the Newberry Library in Chicago, bringing people together who have a common interest. It doesn't matter what their background is or what their education is. It's they have a common interest. And then when you get all of them together, it's amazing what can happen. And so that's what we're starting to build out there.
We're here at the Arts Conference in Pierre. I'm wondering about the relationship of trying to foster the understanding, to getting to know the history, how the arts can fit into that.
I'm not sure the arts directly tie into history. We can see all through history the importance of arts and how arts are used to as propaganda. And so that would be one type of a talk or one type of a course, is to lay that out. But what I am trying to do right now is give a framework to talk about specifically American Indian art in some way that's more nuanced than American Indian art. So we have to come into it with a deeper analysis, and so we can get a better understanding.
What can we learn from the art created by the American Indians themselves and that created by people that aren't American Indians?
I'm sure we could pick examples that would show a big difference there. And to me, it's not necessarily that important whether the person is American Indian or not. All Indians don't produce a certain type of art. All non-Indians don't produce a certain type of art. There are some non-Indians who can will produce art that's accurate to American Indian beliefs or culture, and some non-Indians some Indians who produce art that isn't accurate as well. So, I'm not that interested in the split between the genetics of the artist, but it's the type of art that's produced. When we see an artwork, is it what type of art is it? Does it support tribal nations, or is it more oriented towards Indian collectively, or is it really fall into that thing called stereotypes, or it's just about the wilderness and these people that live out there in the wilderness?
Do you see the portrayal, when you look at the history of, say, the past 100, 200 years, the portrayals changing?
Not so much changing, mm-hmm. as we just see these simultaneous ways of representing American Indians. And some of these are good, and some of these are bad. And they've been there early on. Once non-Indians came, we had these negative representations, and those we're still seeing them now.
Well, Craig Howe, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for stopping by and joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Craig Howe is director and founder of the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies on Pine Ridge, and he gives this evening's keynote address on Lakota arts and identities. That's a part of the statewide arts conference at the Ramkota River Center here in Pierre. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Steve Munson is our on-site engineer. Steve Zwemke produced the show from Vermilion. Special thanks to South Dakotans for the arts and the Ramkota River Center. Coming up tomorrow, we'll discuss the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies, Denise Ross and Kevin Wooster. We'll also hear about a one-man show version of the best-selling relationship book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. That's on tomorrow's Dakota Midday from Rapid City at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.